Slavin Thick News Podcast begins now.
Hey everybody, Joe from Stop and Think News here. I am doing something a little different with the show today, so if you're listening on Podbean or whatever, I'm going to do my best to include you in everything since you don't get the visuals and everything, and I do not know yet how to broadcast to Podbean just audio only from Streamlabs. I'm learning. That's why I'm going live right now to my personal Facebook and trying to figure this all out for everyone else that's going to have a platform on here. Streamlabs is a great it's a pretty good app or whatever to go live from and use and so on, but at the same time there's a lot to learn with it, so that's what I'm trying to do right now is go live and learn from it. I just need to double check my audio on Facebook just to see if there is actually audio, because it's been giving me fits, honestly, so I don't know if there's actually audio. Checking now, and it would appear that there is, yes, indeed, audio, so that's good. Anyway, here we go with the show. Sorry about that. Trying to get this all figured out for everyone so we can offer more options to people when they're listening, you know? It's always better to have more options than less. So, anyway, having said that, let's get on to the news. This happened today. This is from a channel called Kingdom Reacts. Dude seems pretty cool. He's a Trump supporter. I think he does a pretty good job with his videos. He definitely knows how to stream, unlike me. Let's get a listen to this. What happened today is that Trump showed up with a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of Republicans and so on, and one of which was Vivek, which I'm not a fan of, as most of you know. I don't trust him. He's a Soros fellow. A lot of people have argued, oh, no, he's not a Soros fellow. That was George Soros' brother. Yes, it is. If you look up his donations, it's all the Democrats. Same thing, same people, same family. You can make excuses all you want. I just don't trust him. And looking at his businesses during COVID and so on makes me not trust him even more. And, of course, Speaker Mike Johnson showed up. I don't know if he's going to cover that here. It's an 18-minute video. I'm not sure we're going to watch the entire thing. That's pretty long. But you'll get the gist of it when we play it. So,
ladies and gentlemen of America, this trial is a joke. This thing is a farce. We were in there all morning. Michael Cohen basically sat there and said, yeah, he invoiced legal expenses. The Trump campaign, the Trump organization, not the campaign, paid out money in legal expenses. Where's the crime? There is no crime. The only crime that's happening here is this Democrat judge and the Democrat Party prosecuting their political rival right in the middle of a presidential election. The crime here is that the issues facing our nation are not being addressed by the Democrats, but they want to go after Donald Trump. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that has been wrong here. Nothing that has been done poorly by President Trump. The only thing that's being done wrong is by this judge. His daughter's making money, raising money for Democrats. And all of the fundraising emails and all the fundraising things are about this trial that his daughter is using. He won't recuse himself. This is a travesty of justice. Definitely. This is a misuse of the justice system. And look around New York. New York's got plenty of issues. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. You have all of NYPD's finest down here because of this travesty going on in that courtroom. Meanwhile, the citizens of New York are less safe, and the district attorney in New York is not prosecuting real crime. He's a Soros-backed DA going after his chief political rival in Donald Trump. America is better than this. And so, unfortunately, it's going to take the American people this November to let their voices be heard on this travesty of justice that's occurring and making sure that Donald Trump is the 47th president of the United States. I've never seen anything like it. This is a joke. It is a farce. It is a travesty. We are better than this as Americans. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party has lost their ever-loving minds. And so it's going to take the American people to remind them that justice is supposed to be blind. It is not supposed to be going after political opponents and political rivals. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleague from Florida, Congressman Corey Mills.
Woo! Trump pulled up to the court with Byron Donalds, Vivek Ramaswamy, Speaker Mike Johnson, Doug Burgum, and Corey Mills, Eric Trump, Lord Trump, bro, he pulled up like the Avengers. Like, he assembled everybody, for real. Vivek announced that he was going to be making his way there, and I knew about him coming there, but everybody else I wasn't too familiar with. Oh, I had no knowledge of, I meant to say. But yeah, Trump is yet again in this courtroom dealing with this Stormy Daniels case, where there is no friggin' case. And the case happens to also be that the left agrees with that narrative as well. Not the narrative, but the truth, I meant to say. You know, they used to paint narrative. That's why anytime I say the left, I automatically think of the narrative word. Anywho, they're in agreement with this. Like, hey, y'all ain't got no case against Trump. This is a waste of time. Like, what are we doing? Y'all also making us look bad. Really bad. This is unbelievable what they're doing to this man. I mean, wouldn't you be pissed off if your name is not connected to this in no way, shape, or form, meaning you didn't sign off on none of the documents that they're saying that they're accusing you of doing some illegal work on? Weird, man. And then you going off of the word of Stormy Daniels, who in 2018 went on Bill Maher's show and literally said that none of the things that she's taking them to court for today happened. She said none of it happened. Go look it up. It's public information. They also, you know, took the video from me too. So I can't even show the clip. And with all of those powerhouse individuals in attendance, it definitely poses the question, who is Trump gonna pick for his VP? Is this somehow like a tryout that we don't know, you know, that's happening right now? He's like, you know what? Since I got this gag order, I'm gonna go ahead and put my Avengers out here to fight the good fight. And I'm also see which Avengers, you know, the people are feeling the most. That could be a legitimate campaign test right now. We don't know. It could be happening right in front of our eyes. So let me know in the comments who you think might be the VP with Donald Trump. Who y'all think is the one that's, you know, going to be front running? I'll even be honest and give y'all who I personally want. I'm going to say Vivek. Speaking of, let's hear from him and his take after the court appearance today.
Thank you. I want to thank my colleagues, Governor Burgum, Congressman Mills, and Congressman Donalds for laying out the political backdrop here. This is a politicized persecution that is nakedly apparent. What I want to do is dive a little bit deeper into what we actually learned today in that courtroom. What do we see in there? First of all, I learned a lot from being in there in person. It is one of the most depressing places I have been in my life, but it is fitting.
Yeah, let's take a look at what else.
The ruling stated that his gag order must remain in effect to, quote, protect the integrity of the trial, end quote. Really? Seriously? Okay. Are these New York judges nuts? This is Travis right here inserting his standpoint. What integrity do they believe this entire trial has? Cohen attacks Trump. Stormy attacks Trump. The judge's daughter profits from it. The judge donated to his opponent. Then, and the entire case rests on the word of a convicted felon who lied on the stand.
Bingo.
What kind of genius would still support this ridiculous case? I don't know, bro. It takes a real special cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I love this one right here from Chicago, One Ray. It says, raise your hand if you agree with Professor Dershowitz, I believe that's how you say his name, who says the only crime that has, I mean, that's been committed has been by Michael Cohen for lying in court on Trump. Literally, why is nobody talking about that? Like, at all. The man literally lied in court, which is something that, you know, he needs to be looked into for, and definitely justice should be served in that to the highest capacity for him for that. Perjury carries a minimum of 5 years in prison. Arrest that. I don't know what POS mean, y'all. I'm a little old right now. Educate your boy. Now we're going to take a listen to Congressman Corey Mills. And I love the quote right here. This is the Department of Injustice.
Thank you so much. What do we learn here today? What we've learned is that Michael Cohen, who has no credibility, who has purged himself multiple times, who has zero integrity, has actually admitted to defrauding the Trump Organization. He has listed his invoice as being an actual legal precedent where, in fact, he's now claiming that it's something other than that and that he knowingly and fraudulently put that forward. Look, as we talked about, why do they want this trial to continue? Well, they want it to continue because this is the fundraising source for Adam Schiff, for Biden, and for the Democrat opponents. This is nothing more than election interference at its finest. You are seeing where the weaponization of what was the Department of Justice, now the Department of Injustice, has continued to be utilized against the American people and against the President of the United States. I will tell you right now, the same way that I stand here steadfast behind our president, I know that America stands with him as well. They see this sham indictment. They see this for what it is without any actual substance whatsoever. Keep in mind, they keep actually talking about the FEC violations, but when you're utilizing personal funds or you're utilizing a trust, that is not campaign funding. There is no violation, which is why the FEC never actually even pursued this. And so I think the American people see this for what it is. They want to keep President Trump off the campaign trail. They're seeing what's happening in the swing states across America, and they're seeing exactly that this is draining down assets and resources that can be utilized by the president to continue to forge ahead, to build a stronger economy, to secure our border, and to get our nation back on track. This is a sham, and that is the only thing this is. Michael Cohen has no credibility, no integrity, and this is weaponization against our president.
And last but certainly not least, let's hear from the man, Donald J. Trump himself.
There is an insufficient amount of evidence. No crime has been shown. No crime has been committed. There's been no crime. Judge Jeanine Biro, she talks here. This is, well, she's very excited here. He's a fool. He's not an experienced judge. So I'll make that one a little short. I don't want to insult anybody. Greg Jarrett, brilliant guy. Greg's argument is legally flawed. The Federal Election Commission, FEC, determined there was no campaign finance violation. The Department of Justice agreed. No civil fine was levied or criminal charge rendered. Those two entities have exclusive authority over federal elections. The state has absolutely no authority, and the city, Bragg, has no authority. And Bragg never wanted to bring this case, in all fairness to him. He never wanted to bring this case. Not a local prosecutor such as Alvin Bragg should be involved in this case. And by the way, the judge, as you know, is totally conflicted, and everybody's talking about it. It's an embarrassment to New York. Legal analyst Michael Moore of CNN doesn't think the prosecution has proven its case. Senator John Kennedy, respected gentleman, I will tell you that trial says more about politics than it does about an alleged crime. If you want to hide something from Bragg, you put it in the law book. Bringing in a fellow criminal trial, it hasn't proved to be a felony. There was no crime. Everybody's saying there's no crime. There was absolutely. But I've been here for almost 4 weeks in an icebox. I call it the icebox, listening to a judge who's totally corrupt and conflicted. Will Scharf, highly respected lawyer, hush money, it's not a crime. Signing an NDA is not a crime. By the way, Congress, everybody in Congress, they have NDAs. NDAs are very common, non-disclosure agreements. They're not a crime. Claimant, CBS Morning News, there's no evidence that this case is about campaign election violations. There's no evidence. But again, we go back to the federal law. The FEC, Federal Election Commission, said there's not a problem. There's no case. And Vivek, who's here right now, so he can speak for himself, he said this is a sham trial. It's politically motivated. It's an assault on the leading candidate for U.S. president. I would expect he would say something good, actually, so I won't go through the rest, but he's here. He's going to talk to you. The Speaker of the House is here. We have Byron Donalds, Corey is here. We have a lot of great people here to talk to you. And they won't let them speak here. I guess they want to make it difficult for them to speak. So for some reason, I can speak here, but I'm the only one that's allowed. The gag order has to come off. So when you ask me a question about the people that we're talking about, I'm not allowed to answer. There's never been anything like this in the history of our country. It's a scam. It's election interference at a level that's never taken place before. And now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into the icebox and sit for a long time. Thank you very much.
And there he is. There is President Donald J. Trump talking shit again, along with other people. But it's just, I figured I'd play that because I found that to be an interesting, what would you call that, y'all? I don't even know. I mean, it was like almost like a campaign event that took place at the courthouse today. You know, he always has people on in his rallies and so on to speak, which we'll get to that rally over the weekend where he had record crowd numbers in a little bit here. But, yeah, so that happened. And I found it just to, I just found it to be pretty interesting. I want to go to this next story because it just shows you how they're just not going to stop. Everything they do seems to be almost like their TDS is causing Trump to gain popularity. Unfortunately, there's people kind of falling into trouble behind the scenes as well. And here's the most recent one. The DOJ requests judge order Steve Bannon to begin prison sentence. U.S. This is from Citizen Frank, CF homepage. U.S. officials on May 14th asked a federal judge to order Steve Bannon, an ex-advisor to former President Donald Trump, to prison. Mr. Bannon was convicted of contempt of Congress in 2022 and sentenced to 4 months in prison. But his sentence has been on hold due to his appeal of the conviction. A U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit panel on Friday upheld the conviction, ruling against Mr. Bannon. A lawyer representing Mr. Bannon said that he will be asking the full appeals court to consider the case. But U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ lawyers said Tuesday that there is no legal basis to keep Mr. Bannon's sentence paused. Now, there is no longer a substantial question of law that is likely to result in a reversal or an order of a new trial, they said, noting that the panel rejected all of Mr. Bannon's arguments. The request was submitted to the U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, who stayed the sentence in 2022 because he found that Mr. Bannon was raising a substantial question of law that is likely to result in a reversal order of a new trial. The substantial question centers around how to determine if a defendant intentionally defies a congressional subpoena and what evidence the defendant should be able to introduce, Judge Nichols, an appointee of President Trump, said at sentencing. This case also raises substantial questions about the effect of the congressional subpoena recipient's invocation of the speech or debate clause and questions regarding whether and to what extent the committee was formed and operates in compliance with its rules, he said at the time. So what we're seeing now is that they are going to attempt to hold Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress because he didn't show up for one of the sham trials that they wanted to question him in. Now, is there anybody else that we know of that has done the exact same and is still walking around scot-free? Well, of course there is. That would be Hunter Biden. In fact, he attended one and then stormed out when Marjorie Taylor Greene started speaking. And he still has yet to be tried for any of that. I highly doubt he's ever going to be. It just seems to be kind of a one-sided situation, if I'm being completely honest. It seems pretty pathetic. So that is happening alongside everything else that's happening. I found this article from CNN, and I thought I'd share it with you because I found it to be pretty funny. It's not from this country. It's from India. And it's titled, In the World's Biggest Election, Millions of Migrants Are Unable to Vote. And this is coming out of Mumbai, India. So good luck with me pronouncing most of these names. Shanu Gupta has lived in India's financial capital, Mumbai, nearly his whole life since arriving as a child from the northern state of Uttar Pradesh. Yeah. So, but when polls open in the city, the 59-year-old street vendor won't be able to vote in the nationwide election, along with millions of internal migrant workers who are a major backbone of the country's economy. I cannot go vote as I don't belong to Maharashtra state. Holy crap, man. Anyway, Gupta told CNN in Mumbai's shopping district, Dadar, standing next to the roadside cart where he sells shaved ice and cold drinks. I have voting rights in another state. Okay, so go vote there. Under India's election rules, eligible voters can only cast ballots in their constituencies, meaning those working outside of their state have to return home to vote. Okay, that sounds logical. That's all but impossible for many out-of-state workers, especially underprivileged daily wage workers in the unorganized sector, and it's a huge group. One study estimates there were about 600 million internal migrants in 2020, making up 43% of the country's nearly 1.4 billion population at the time. So these workers are often from poor rural parts of India in search of work in bigger cities. Even then, they earn low wages that are usually sent home to support family members. Perhaps nowhere is this starker than Mumbai, India's richest city, and the birthplace of Bollywood movie industry, often referred to as the City of Dreams. Mumbai draws migrants from across the country hoping to find wealth and success. So here's CNN whining that India has their own voting rules that they've made up and they find to be suitable for India. And they're not happy that they've done that, apparently. That's the same thing they're trying to do here. They're trying to do in India. It never ends. If the rules are that you go vote from your own home state, whatever, in India, then that's the rules. You chose to travel to Mumbai. You chose to do what you're doing. These are your choices. So you need to, if you really want to vote, go home and vote from there. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I don't understand. I don't understand why voting rules are so annoying to the left. It's almost like they need lax voting rules to, you know, win. So they're going to use any and every example they can. This story popped up today. Teacher boasts about new job after being fired for texting student 28,000 times. So a teacher has mocked the Department of Education after getting a new job, despite being fired from her last job for texting a student over 28,000 times. Dulania Almonte was fired from her teaching job at Harry S. Truman High School in the Bronx back in 2020. A report from the Special Commissioner of Investigation found the 30-year-old had behaved inappropriately with students. It revealed that over the course of 14 months, Almonte had sent 28,075 texts to a 17-year-old girl and 1,900 messages to a boy in 12th grade, with both students making multiple visits to her home in the Bronx. An investigation was first sparked after Almonte was accused of having been involved with a former student, resulting in the New York City Police Department taking a closer look. Although no arrests were made over the claims, the Special Commissioner of Investigations discovered thousands of late night and weekend conversations between Almonte and her students. The report concluded Almonte's excessive contact and behavior with the students demonstrates that she has no place in New York City schools. However, Almonte has denied all allegations made against her and insisted the report's findings were completely false. Despite being fired from Harry S. Truman High School, she has since found work as a teacher again. I can't be found guilty if I'm still a teacher, she told New York Post. It's not a crime, but still got fired, which is honestly why the Department of Education can go suck a big penis, I guess. Now teaching Spanish at New York City Charter High School for Engineering and Innovation, Almonte boasted about her freedom and mocked the Department of Education, stating, still a teacher, can't touch me, still a teacher working elsewhere, like you really can't effing touch me. Nonetheless, Almonte has all but removed herself from social media since garnering attention online, making her Instagram and TikTok accounts private. So yeah, that's your educational system, and let's be honest, she is not lying. I mean, it's much like the Catholic Church. They get caught doing something, and they go right ahead and hire him anyway. So yeah, I came across this. I've never heard of this, source before. So I haven't read this. I thought I'd share this because if it turns out to be true, it's pretty messed up. And it's titled, Michigan Enforces Vehicle Checkpoints to Contain Avian Influenza Outbreak. Let me get that out of the way. There we go. Lansing, Michigan. Michigan has declared an extraordinary animal health emergency in response to the rapid spread of the highly pathogenic avian flu influenza H5N1, implementing rigorous biosecurity measures, including mandatory vehicle checkpoints at all dairy and poultry operations. Mandatory. Beginning last week, the measures apply to various poultry, such as guinea fowl, turkeys, and doves, as well as commercial dairy facilities across the state. The centerpiece of the emergency order is established of all control perimeters around livestock facilities, coupled with strict vehicle and personal monitoring protocols. At these checkpoints, there will be thorough cleaning and disinfection process for all vehicles that enter or exit, ensuring that potential contaminants are managed before they can spread the virus further. Additionally, the order mandates the designation of biosecurity manager at each site to oversee the critical activities, record all records of all traffic, including the entry and exit of personnel, must be meticulously maintained to track potential transmission vectors. To curb the virus's spread among animals, the state has also suspended the exhibition of all lactating dairy cattle and poultry until there are no new cases of HPAI reported in the respective groups for a set period, 60 days for dairy or cattle, 30 days for poultry. These stringent measures, including the vehicle checkpoints, are essential for managing a disease's spread and protecting Michigan's substantial agriculture sector from significant losses. The focus on vehicle sanitation highlights the state's proactive approach to halting the avian influenza transmission in one of its most critical control points. So they are compelling you to, if you go to a place where these animals are, to get your vehicle. You will be logged. You will be documented. You will have your vehicle sprayed down. And we can see where this is heading. Can we not see where this is heading? I mean, if you can't see where this is heading, we saw this before. Remember spraying down the subway stations, the buses, the stores were closing early to supposedly spray everything down. We can see where they're going with this. It's an election year. I'm not scared. You shouldn't be scared either. CDC has already admitted that there's dead amounts, like dead virus of this in your milk that you drink every day if you drink milk. Some of you think milk is gross, so you probably don't drink milk. Either way, it's whatever, right? I mean, come on. We're going to do whatever we have to do to try to stop Trump, to try to meddle in the election, to try to get mail-in voting. I can already see they've already, I think we covered this two Ben and Joe shows ago, that we had a guy in Texas that was bleeding from his eyes because he caught H1N1 from a cow or whatever. And so they're going to slowly start rolling this out. The closer, I feel like if the public doesn't buy into this, which I have been out and about and I have been seeing many more people in masks. So, of course, your NPCs are buying into this. So when the more of those people that buy into it, the more emboldened these people will feel. So I guess all I can say is get ready. I mean, it could go either way. I mean, look what happened with monkeypox. They found out that little kids were catching it that had direct contact with gays in some way, probably from just long hugs. We'll just say that. And that disappeared as fast as you could blink. This, nobody's really scared of this. It's been around forever. I don't know. This could go either way, I guess is my point. It could go, like, these people freak out, or it could just go where, you know, it just disappears into nothing, and they have to come up with a new idea, which I think would be probably nuclear war if this doesn't work out for them. So I guess we'll see what happens there. We have some good news out of Mississippi on the sanity front. Mississippi governor signs law restricting transgender people's use of bathrooms and locker rooms, which should happen everywhere. So Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves said Monday that he has signed a new law regulating transgender people's use of bathrooms, locker rooms, and dormitories in public education buildings, making Mississippi at least the 12th state to restrict transgender students from using facilities that align with their gender identity. I hate that they have to put that bullshit. So anyway, Reeves criticized a federal regulation banning blanket policies that bar transgender students from school bathrooms aligning with their gender. Among other provisions, Republican attorney, why is this hopping around like that? Now I don't even know where I was. Stupid. Now I got to figure out where I was. Republican attorneys general from Mississippi and some other states are challenging the federal regulation. It's mind-blowing that this is what Joe Biden's America has come to, Reeves wrote on social media. Having to pass common-sense policies to protect women's spaces was unimaginable a few years ago, and he's right. But here we are. We have to pass a law to protect women in bathrooms, sororities, locker rooms, dressing rooms, shower rooms, and more. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The law requires all public education institutions in the state to equip their buildings with single-sex bathrooms, changing areas in dormitories, as well as at least one gender-neutral bathroom and changing room. The new law, which took effect immediately, says people would only be allowed to enter spaces that correspond to their sex assigned at birth. So, wait. Is this, we talk about this on the Ben and Joe show. I've always said I don't think it's right that places are supposed to or expected to. I mean, it's probably where we have to go, as Ben points out. But is it right that somewhere has to pay to add new bathrooms for these mentally ill people because the left has decided that we need to accept them for who they are? And they should be allowed to be in with women and children with their wieners hanging out. It sounds like this is going to make it so that they have to, I don't know, I guess maybe that was the Biden law? I don't know. Anyway, the new law, which took effect immediately, says people would only be allowed to enter spaces that correspond to their sex assigned at birth, which is common sense. Regardless of their appearance or any procedures they've had to affirm their gender identity, those who violate the policy could be sued, but schools, colleges, and universities would be protected from liability. It also declares that people are either male or female as observed and or clinically verified at birth without regard to a person's physiological, chosen, or subjective experience, feelings, actions, or sense of self. During legislative debate, Democrats said the new restrictions in bathrooms and other facilities would put transgender people at risk. They also criticized Republicans for spending time on the issue as other legislative priorities remain unfinished. Well, when you have, you know, women and girls at risk of being raped, seeing young girls seeing some dude with his wiener out while he's trying to shave his legs, things like that. That's just as important as more welfare benefits for illegals. You know what I mean? In 2021, Reeves signed legislation to ban transgender athletes from competing on girls or women's sports teams. Last year, he signed a bill to ban gender-affirming hormones or surgery for anyone younger than 18, which should be common sense. The Mississippi proposals were among several bills being considered in state legislatures around the country as Republicans try to restrict transgender people's access to gender-affirming care bathrooms and sports, among other things. I like how they had to put that in there. No, what they're doing is they're bringing back sanity. I mean, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a conservative, but I can say this. When it comes to this issue specifically, 9 times out of 10, it is going to be a Republican or a conservative who is making the right call on all of these things. Because men do not belong. You will never be a female. You can do whatever it is that you want to do to your body to make yourself feel as though you are such, but you will never actually be one. Many of these people don't go the distance to remove their wieners. They don't get the surgeries. They don't do any of that. Some of them even keep their 5 o'clock shadow, their beard, and then just dress like a woman with makeup. Like, it's insanity. And they do not belong in bathrooms of women. Women deserve to have their own private spaces. Technically, men should have their own private spaces away from these weirdos. But I would just laugh. I would probably chuckle behind their back when I seen a dude in a dress using a urinal. I'm just saying. But anyway, that is going on in Mississippi. We're seeing more and more examples of sanity coming back slowly into the United States, which is amazing, in my opinion. So let's hope that keeps happening because something's got to give here. I mean, there's many examples in high schools and elsewhere of these crazy people getting into women's restrooms and hurting little girls, hurting women, so on and so forth, because many of them, as we discussed on the weekend show, they're not really even what they claim to be. They're just trying to get into women's personal spaces because they're freaks. So the actual people that actually have gender dysphoria is a very small amount of people on this planet. It is, compared to normal people. So it's a very, really small number of people. And the rest of these people, they're either looking for special privileges, they're looking to be different, they want attention, or they want to gain access to private spaces for women, is, you know, the reality of it. So don't care whose feelings that hurts. That's the actual truth. So here we go. I got this next one. This is from The Quartering. Hollywood elite busted with kid by live streamers Bradley Martin and Vitaly. He freaks out and runs away. So we're going to play this because it's just another example of Hollywood weirdos. And I will show you
now. Well, this is not going to be a good look for those who talk about Hollywood elites and what their potential proclivities may be. But in this particular case, two live streamers who are very popular, though I don't really watch live streamers, but one of them is named Bradley Martin, and the other named is Vitaly or something like that, apparently busted a prominent Hollywood producer, you know, from NBA Jam, Kindergarten Cop, and a wide variety of other movies, kids movies, almost all of them kids movies, meeting up for a date for somebody who was very young. Now, in this case, it was a female, shockingly, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here. And obviously, we'll have to decide, you know, we'll see the clip, you know, and the story behind it. But yeah, make sure you share this video because it's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. Now, we've seen no comment from this Hollywood producer, Herschel Ann Weingrod, but we have seen several articles come out today that are just talking about his career. It's almost like they're trying to push this news down. I'm not sure if what he has actually done in this case constitutes a crime either. Live streamers allegedly bust prominent Hollywood producer during an interaction with somebody who belongs in middle school. Live streamer Vitaly and Bradley Martin allegedly caught Space Jam and Kindergarten Cop producer Herschel Allen Weingrod on a date with somebody who belongs in middle school. Their latest live stream to, quote, catch creeps on YouTube appeared to show the American screenwriter and producer at a restaurant with this individual, and the questionable scene played out on camera. We're going to take a look at it. The footage appeared to show him and the bait talking and ordering food. Then Vitaly and Martin stormed in and confronted him on what he was doing in that particular scenario. Weingrod eventually admitted in the video that the girl had in fact told him that they were 15, and at no point did he leave. By the way, the guy's worth $120 million. What are you doing?
Weingrod.
Looks like the island going out of business has affected a lot of people, apparently.
Weinstein.
Now, here's Weingrod. The interesting thing. Okay, I understand, you know, look, people look older than they really are, okay? There's a lot of scenarios where,
I don't know what he's trying to say there.
I guess for me, I can see now that I'm like 40, I can see somebody, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, well, how old are they, like 15? And they're like 25. So like, I mean, sure, that happens. But in this particular case, according to this producer, This bait person posed to somebody who was 23 on a dating site, decided to meet up with him anyway, which is bizarre. So they said they were 23. I would say nothing happened. No harm, no foul. Although, why is like a 90-year-old dude trying to date somebody who's 23? But anyway. But this individual told him once they met that they were actually 15. You can see that the famous writer tried to walk his way out of the situation when he was approached. Why are you sitting with my daughter? The live streamer
let's
asked.
Just get into the video.
Then proceeded to ask him if he was aware of her age. I had no idea, he replied.
There's no point in watching.
He was pressed
like
further on what his intentions were, and he responded by saying, I messed with her.
Here we go.
I think he says messaged her.
Here we go.
You see, it's definitely him. Now, there
Yeah, there's just no point in reading the entire article just to watch the video on Twitter. So I'm going to just go ahead and skip past.
I mean,
sue my fucking daughter. What's your name? What is your name?
Boris. My name is Boris.
What's Boris.
He lied. He lied about his name. He said it's Boris. Now, maybe his name is Boris, and maybe he is the spitting image of this guy. It's possible.
So what's your name? Shake my hand.
What's the problem?
Shake
what
my
do you
hand.
See with my daughter? You know how old she is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
No.
The fuck you thought was going to happen here?
Nothing. We're going to have a pizza. I don't know.
Pizza? Yeah, you don't.
Ha! Pizza, huh? What's an interesting choice of food? A Hollywood producer meeting a kid for pizza.
No, how old is she?
Brad.
You know how old she is?
I messed with her. She was 23.
23. Is that what the conversation looked like?
You remember the text messages? She was 23 on a dating site.
On a dating site?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was 23 on
how
a
old
dating
is she?
Site. I have no idea.
Lila, how old are you?
Now, right now, by the way, if she had lied and told him he was 23, it might be creepy, but it's whatever, right? But wait.
I'm sorry. She was 23 on a dating site.
So the fact that if she lied about her age and he didn't do anything, I'm not sure that, you know, it's gross, but wait.
All we've done is
so talk. She didn't tell you how old she was?
She did.
She did?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She said she was 15.
Boom. Right there. He admits that she
all
did.
Right. That's all
tell
we need
him.
To see of this. I don't need to hear anything else. So he claims she was on a dating site, said she was 23, right? Now keep that in the back of your head. Then he finds out that she's supposedly 15, right? Keep that in the back of your head. So why is he here at this pizza joint with somebody who had showed up on a dating site, said they were 23, but then admitted they were 15, and then you decide, well, that's fine. I'm going to take them out for pizza. There's no getting around that. Like, dude's a perv, and of course he's got the wine in the name. I'm just going to leave that at that. That's just a trend that we're supposed to not notice. So here we go. That happened, another Hollywood pedophile. I posted on my Telegram, Stop and Think News, and on Facebook, speaking of pedophiles, Tom McDonald caught defending this Drake guy who is now being accused of being a pedophile. I know it's just accusations, but I find it to be interesting that, you know, all these Trump people who find this guy who was either debating or actually got a Satan tattooed to their face. It was on his Instagram. I've shared those photos. They look at him as some sort of hero because he says what they want to hear, I guess. I guess you can be a complete shitbag, and as long as you say things people want to hear, then you're good in their eyes. It's kind of stupid. Anyway, moving on. Donald Trump's crowd size raises questions. So we're back to the crowd size thing. Former President Donald Trump is known to boast about the size of his crowds at his events and his rally in the New Jersey. Why would you call it the New Jersey? On Saturday was no different. They were so excited to write this. Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, spoke before a crowd of tens of thousands of people who gathered on the beach in the town of Wildwood, repeatedly blaming President Joe Biden for the criminal charges he is facing, which is true, as he seeks to reclaim the White House in November, according to the Associated Press and the New York Times. But Trump and his team said the crowd had exceeded 100,000. You can't even see the back. There's so many people here, Trump told attendees. 80,000 is the number I heard, and we've got a tweet from Mike Engelman here, and it says 80,000 in New Jersey for Trump. MAGA strong. I'm going to mute the video. I mean, you're not going to get to see this when, you know, if you're listening on a Podbean or whatever, one of the other apps. But the video clearly shows a sea of people. It's definitely not tens of thousands. And they were also counting people that couldn't get in, which There were people lining all along, I guess, from what I understood from our RSBN, there was people lining all along the outside of this, watching from restaurants and so on. That doesn't mean they were there as Trump supporters, I suppose, but, I mean, it's whatever. Trump spokesperson Stephen Chung told Newsweek on Sunday that over 100,000 people are patriots. Over 100,000 people patriots? People patriots. Who wrote this? Had shown up to hear Trump speak. Lisa Fagan, spokesperson for the city of Wildwood, told the AP that she estimated that between 80,000 and 100,000 attended a rally based off of her own observations on the scene. However, some on social media questioned those numbers, and others reported that many attendees left before the Trump had finished speaking, which may be true. Supposedly it was cold, so... Aaliyah Schneider, a reporter with the Philadelphia Inquirer, posted videos showing some attendees leaving the rally while Trump was speaking. Okay? Trump is still speaking, but the crowd has been thinning. People have been walking out back to the boardwalk, Schneider wrote in a post. Trump is still speaking, but the crowd has been thinning. People have been walking out back to the boardwalk, and she shares this video.
A tender-hearted woman for... half-frozen snake.
Yeah, so...
Do. Poor thing!
You can hear Trump's reading his snake poem. Trump reads his snake poem at the end. And if there were truly 80,000 people there, I'm not going to lie, I probably would be leaving around the snake poem too. Nothing against Trump, but I can guarantee you there was a traffic jam from hell after this thing was over. Alongside another video, Schneider added, the back section of the crowd is noticeably smaller as people continue to leave while Trump is still speaking, as probably for reasons that I just mentioned. USA Today reporter Zach Anderson posted a video showing much of the crowd had gone while Trump was still delivering remarks. Trump is still speaking in Wildwood, but not much of the crowd has left. But much of the crowd has left. It's cold, and he's been speaking for 90 minutes. The whole area was full of people when Trump started, Anderson wrote. So he's... being honest that the whole area was
like Sinatra and
video for those of you on Podbean, sorry you can't see it. It looks like an empty beach with things around.
This is where generations of New Jersey patriots.
Yeah, so there's less people on the beach for the end of the speech so that they could get out of there. Let's be honest. I mean, they're not, it has nothing to do with Trump, it has everything to do with not wanting to be stuck in traffic, period. And it was a long day as well. So several of Trump, if you want to see what really happened, look up RSBN. They've got these videos. They got them on Rumble, Right Side Broadcasting Network. They've got it on Rumble. They've got it on YouTube, unless YouTube took it down. I don't know. But, yeah, so several of Trump's allies took to social media to rave about the size of the crowd in Wildwood. And, of course, liberals had to try to debate about it because they're upset that Biden can't draw more than 50 people, and then he gropes half the children in the crowd. Anyway, Trump's New Jersey rally probably had more people in attendance than Joe Biden has spoken to this entire year, assuming we don't count the many voices in Biden's head, Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert wrote on X, formerly Twitter. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote, there's nothing like a Trump rally. The American people are energized and ready to reelect President Trump in November. Look at these crowds. It is quite a few people in the fold. Quite a few people in this photo here. Maybe we'll take a look. It's just one small section of the crowd, though. It ain't the whole thing. And there's a lot of people there. I guess at the end of the day, we can't blame the left for being douchebags because that's what they're best at. So, but social media users compared aerial photos of the crowd in Wildwood with other events that drew huge amounts of people to question the size of Saturday's crowd, including Taylor Swift. They compared it to a Taylor Swift concert where everybody's crammed in all together. And they're saying, oh, you know, this indoor, well, it's an indoor stadium with no roof. So it's like that's 73,000. And that Trump's isn't, I guess. Right. The mental gymnastics that they need to. And then we got this other guy, Carlos Turnbull. On the left is a crowd of 100,000 people at an Obama rally in St. Louis. On the right is Trump's, a photo of Trump's New Jersey rally, don't let them gaslight you. Okay, is Obama running right now? Currently? Is Obama running right now currently? No, everybody learned their lesson with that dude, right? So you can see in this photo, there's not only the massive crowd around Trump, but there's lines of people against the fence out in the back. I think that's people. And then there seems to be a park in the distance, like some kind of fun park. That's the boardwalk, I assume. Long story short, the left had to go ahead and do the normal thing that they do. And then we got Ron Dobson. This is what 19,000 people looks like, you know, and then they compare that to the Jersey crowd inside 19,000 people crammed inside this sports stadium where the actual place where the game's taking event looks tiny because there's so many people crammed into this sports stadium. Like, they're not thinking about this. But anyway, by all accounts, people on the ground said the same thing other than just Trump backers, you know, other MAGA people that were there said the same thing. People on the street said the same thing. So they can kind of suck it. Like, literally, it's better than what Biden gets anywhere. If you recall, Biden had to make little squares during COVID, and he couldn't even fill those squares then. Most popular president, 80,000 votes or 80 million votes. I mean, we're the suckers because we know better than what they're telling us, I guess is the point. But anyway, guys, that's really all I got for you today. Until next time, be safe, be prepared, just don't be a jerk about it, and I will talk to you very, very soon.